Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But one of the big stories in town today, tragically, is the plane crash that took place in an area that so many of us traverse so regularly. Most people listening to my voice right now have probably flown out of Reagan National, and many of you guys routinely are driving in the area where this took place, which makes this kind of a ubiquitous story in town. Everybody looks and says, oh, I was on that bridge yesterday. I was driving in over the 14th Street Bridge over the Potomac River to get to work today, looking up and saw two or three planes going right over my head, over the river, into the runways at Reagan National while I was on my way into work. And like everyone else last night, was following all of the stories and the details coming out on the tragic midair collision between an American Airlines regional jet and a U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter. Danny, the most lives lost in a aviation crash in this country since September 11th last night, right here in our backyard. And many of the folks, because they were coming back to D.C., probably members of our community. Just so sad.
It's it defies words. You know, it's sort of beyond that. You just kind of can't believe it. And just so heartbreaking and horrible, and there's nothing good about it, obviously. On a number of fronts, the idea that this sort of puts so much fear in a lot of people's minds, where you mentioned statistically, it's still by far and away the simple, safest thing to do is to get on a plane and have it go somewhere and have it land. And you know, the hundreds of thousands of flights that go on, and they all sort of, you know, are begin, middle, end so routinely. And this one's so close to its ending, to have it end that way. And just, you know, I can't imagine the folks on the planes in those kind of last few moments, what they must have been feeling. I can't imagine loved ones searching and waiting for answers. And, you know, every bit of news that comes back is worse than the last. It's just heartbreaking, man.
Yeah, I think about all the time how busy these airways are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, above us in this area. And this is as restricted and I'm sure as, tightly run an area as you can fly in America, right here in D.C., yep. around all these important buildings. But the amount of planes that you see coming in, again, a lot of times when I'm on the 14th Street Bridge, if I'm in traffic sitting there, just looking down the river to my left, I could see three or four planes.
Yeah, you can see them single file, and everybody's kind of, you know.
Just coming in. Mm-hmm. And how many times do you see helicopters whipping around all over D.C.? I live out by Fort Belvoir, not far from there. I can't remember a half hour being outside tossing the ball to my kids or something where a chopper or something isn't coming by in that area. It's just part of everyday life. Those sounds, it's what we do living in this part of the globe. There's so many important buildings and important people going from one meeting to the next, and that's how they travel. It's somewhat staggering that nothing like this has ever happened before, but there are obviously so many barriers put up. You know, precautions and technology so that this doesn't happen, but there's just so many things in the air right there.
Yeah, it's always been something I've been, you know, it sounds flippant to say, but I'd say irrationally afraid of, and I guess maybe not so irrationally. Who knows? Again, I don't know. I don't have the right word, so apologies in advance for that. But seeing, if you're able to get into a high building in Alexandria or Arlington or even parts of D.C., I know not that, there's no skyscraper because of the height rule, but if you get high enough, to your point, and you sort of do that, okay, I'm not looking at one thing, but now I'm looking at a whole landscape. You could see the line of planes that have to maneuver and bank in such a way to get into National Airport, depending which way the wind's blowing.
Have you ever gone to Gravelly Point?
Yeah,
sat
absolutely.
There for a few minutes?
We did that a lot of times when our kids were young, because they, you know, they loved the
coolest.
Yeah, they get super excited about the planes landing and everything. And then you can also see, as you mentioned, commuting home, just the slew of the low airspace helicopters, whether they're doing maneuvers, whether they're practicing something, whether they're shuttling a dignitary or who knows what the each function is. But I'm always kind of like, it makes me nervous and always has. And again, it's not about me. It doesn't change anything about how tragic last evening was. But it's always something I've kind of in the back of my mind going, this is such a delicate thing where if there's one screw up, somebody doesn't, you know, notice something or someone's instrument isn't working or someone, you know, doesn't hit the right switch, you could have something horrible happen. And it's always been something I've been paranoid about. And, you know, to have it come to life yesterday was, you know, man, just awful, awful.
Yeah, horrendous. Athletes were on board, I'm sure you guys have seen, but a bunch of members of the figure skating community were on the jet. They were coming back from a development camp mm-hmm. in Wichita. Many of them train at, I guess, or stay somewhere locally because they skate a lot over at Kettler, where the Capitals train, it sounds like. But it's the Skating Club of Boston, and they had six victims, including two skaters who were world champions in pairs back in 1994 who were on the plane. But this is the second time I was reading today that the figure skating community has been affected by something like this. There was a crash, I want to say, 80s or 90s, where they lost members as well. So just, you add that to the pile of just tragedies that took place in this. It's awful. And, you know, again, we're a steakhouse. We serve steak. We talk sports. We're your way to not have to think about some of the bad things that are going on. But I think we'd be remiss as we're driving, you know, past areas where there's emergency vehicles today and living so close to this and all the coverage on the local TV station is still wall to wall with what's going on in the Potomac River. This is our backyard. People are affected by this.
Yeah.
Some people listening, maybe even very personally affected by this, and we are cognizant of that for sure.
And you mentioned 14th Street Bridge. It's how I come in most days as well. And of course, folks are old enough to remember the plane that crashed into the 14th Street Bridge in the early 80s.
If I had a dollar for every time my dad told me about that plane,
yep.
And now I get it as a grown-up, there are certain things that happen. Maybe it's based on what's going on in your life at that time. It's hard to explain why, but certain things that just hit you in a way that you'll never forget where mm-hmm. you were or what. Some of the stories are huge. Obviously, every person listening knows where they were on September 11th and can recount very specific details of that day. I remember getting home from school, going to Ben Gallier's house. I remember what snack his parents gave us from his pantry. And I remember going out and throwing the football in the front yard with him in early September. But then there are these things that maybe aren't on that same scale where you always remember exactly where you were. My dad would tell me the story of a guy named Lenny Skolnick.
Skutnik.
Skutnik?
Yeah.
Lenny Skutnik.
His son was my college teammate.
No way.
Yeah.
So he jumped into the water for this Air Florida flight that went into the bridge and then into the Potomac, by the way, on a January freezing night, just like last night.
Exactly.
Freezing cold waters. And this guy just said, okay, here I go. And this is very different. There was not a collision in the middle of the air that tragically probably led to a lot of people perishing in the moment. This was the plane goes down in the water and there are now people fighting for their lives. And so he basically jumps off the banks of Virginia, wherever he was, off the bridge, I don't know, and he jumps into the water. My dad has told me about that story so many times over the years. It's all I could think about last night. I'm like, this is, that was in the early 80s, maybe January of 82.
That's right, exactly right, yep.
This is like our era version of that. And no one should ever see any of these, but this is now twice over the span of, you know, 40-some-year-old person's lifetime where this has happened in essentially the same location.
Well, I couldn't, you know, so it just... Again, being of that age, it's similar. I was too young to remember it, obviously. I was just a little kid. But I heard that story a million times over. And then I think I was, I think it was 2 years behind me. But then I meet Glenn Skutnik, his son. This is a Glenn, freshman pitcher. Hey, you have the same last name? He's like, yeah, that's my dad. Oh, holy crap. Like, kind of that story of legend. Like, it's grown. And Paul Bunyan style of how many people have saved it. And it was absolutely heroic. But it's almost impossible not to think of some of those kind of parallels, right? Where this... It's, you know, hundreds of yards away from that spot. And I'm driving over the 14th Street Bridge, just like all those years ago, just like everyone else that, you know, was picking up their lives, commuting to work and watching the planes roll in again because business at National Airport opened up again at 11. Just, man, it's you don't want to – you want to be able to continue, want to be able to persevere and go on, but then you also don't want to lose sight of what happened and how horrible it was and how everyone's lives that are connected to that even – you know, by great distance, are forever affected. Man.
Yeah, but we're thinking about all the people that had loved ones on those planes, you know, and have to now pick up the pieces of their lives moving forward. Just awful. Maybe the worst part about it, too, is you got to sit here and hopefully you're not on the internet, but watch everyone pontificate and give their crazy stories as to what happened. I mean, ideally, right now, there's investigations going on. I don't care who you are.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, with our biggest sale ever. Furnaces from $39 a month. Furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month. Plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664-SEASONS.
You say a quick prayer and a thought for the people that are affected and let the grown-ups do what they got to do.
Yeah, not the time for your agenda, your pontificating. One thing I will say, just as a quick side, I was horrified last night, not like everybody else watching, but whoever the reporter was, that as there's a because it's a unique situation where you can't just go to the normal scene of the incident, right? Because it's an airport and there's extra security, because it's, you know, it's not something that's easily accessible. It's not like you go to the house and you're like, hey, my family's in there or whatever, right? The reporter going, what are you thinking right now? To the guy whose relative may or may not have been on the plane. I was like, let's not do that again.
Wait, what is this?
So I don't know how to describe it, but there was either...
At the airport.
Yeah, at the airport. They're sticking a camera and a mic in the guy's face going, what are you thinking right now? You can ask the guy what he's thinking. Let's not put that on TV. That I was horrified by that. I don't know if anybody else felt that way. Just I thought that was ghoulish.
Well, I did not even see that. I think what happens, maybe, not to make an excuse because that's so unacceptable, but as crazy as it is as a reporter, I'd imagine your adrenaline kicks in now because you don't really get to have that same luxury of just like last night. My depression sets in and I just sit back and feel awful and helpless.
Mm-hmm.
And your job now is to cover this and figure out what's going on. And there's an adrenaline. Now, what you can't lose is your
Your humanity.
Humanity, yeah. And your human decency in that moment. And especially, I mean, I don't know the details. Did they know that this person knew someone on the flight?
It's the way it sounded to me. I could only get through a few seconds of the video. I've seen a bunch of people forward it and send it around and you know, explain, like, hey, this is so tragic, this is awful. And my only thought was, let's not do that. Let's not stick a camera and a mic in a guy's face where he's waiting to find out if his loved one is alive or not. I thought that was absurd.
That seems like pretty easy teach tape there
mm-hmm.
on what not to do. Time and a place to have some conversations with people and get to the bottom of, you know, what's going on. But I could probably answer the question for you if you want me to, as a stranger who's never met the person, as to how they're feeling.
Right.
As they're waiting to find out if their spouse is alive.
Because the way that should go.
I could answer that question.
Yeah, the way that should go is I spoke to somebody who's waiting for information and they're obviously crestfallen, heartbroken, anxious, and you know, like anybody else would be. Back to you in the studio. Just, I thought that was pretty bad, personally.
Yeah, that's awful. Just generally speaking, I think, you know, in moments like that, coverage is so important. And getting information out to the public, because what were we all doing? First thing we do, and for all the faults with social media at this point, before the TV stations can get up and running, they don't have the information yet. Mm-hmm. They don't have the details yet. They haven't broken into their live coverage yet. I always say this about radio. And one of the reasons I love what we do in this medium, in this entity, we don't need video. We don't need pictures. We don't need to rush a van out to the 14th Street Bridge to go live.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm here and I got a microphone, I can talk to hundreds of thousands of people pretty quickly, right?
Yep.
Television, you got to do a bunch of stuff just before you can get on the air with this story. So I don't know about you guys, but when I originally saw everything, I saw the video from the Kennedy Center camera.
Yep.
Which, if you want to talk about things that are uncomfortable, the retweeting of that, I don't know how to feel about that either. I get it. Like, in some way, you're just putting this out like you don't know what's going on. There's an explosion in D.C. After the fact, knowing what happened in the explosion, even that's some gray area and strange for me. Like, there's been times where I've retweeted, this is way less a deal, but like a serious football injury, like Dak Prescott or whatever, and people are killing me. And they're like, dude, how dare you retweet this? Take this down. You can see his leg break or whatever. That's like a really small scale of, I have to have this conversation with myself of like, should I have posted that? Is that something I needed to, get the word out on? And like, these are things that I think about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, there's this video last night. I think the reason that a lot of people originally found out in the area.
Yeah, I sent it to our group chat.
Something had happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Was the and everything's on camera in D.C. So if anything ever happens in the city, we're probably going to get some kind of frame where you're in it. But the explosion. And at that moment, nobody knows that it's a plane crash. Now, FAA and those types of things, they do. But just people are like, this just happened in the city. This is not supposed to happen. And within a few minutes, we find out the speculation that a plane has crashed.
Mm-hmm.
But all you have is Twitter at that point. That's where social media is king to some extent. I'm not telling you it's all good. I don't even think most of it's good at this point. But in the initial moments of trying to figure something out, the immediacy of, I'm going 4, 5, 7, 9, I'm clicking through CNN, whatever else, like, nobody's on yet. There was an explosion in D.C., what the hell's going on? And now I'm scrolling and seeing, FAA is saying this. That's where the information was right away.
To your point, the first that I'm reading about it, after Ryan gave us the kind of the heads up, like, hey, I think something may have happened, there was a reporter, I'm not even sure what outlet he's with, and I'm not trying to be pro or besmirch, I have no idea, but he was driving home and it happened kind of in his rearview mirror. So like, he's on the GW Parkway and it's behind him kind of at his 7 o'clock, and he immediately goes and posts a thread. Here's what I saw. Here's what it looked like. This looks bad. You know, more to come. And that's kind of my first entry point into the information as to what it might have had. So the fastest thing in real time was that kind of, you know, the Twitterverse there.
Well, all you need is your phone and your thumbs, you know? I was joking about how much more efficient radio is in moments like that than, say, television, where I'm rushing a van out there with a camera and a reporter to do a stand-up. But nothing's going to beat just being able to type something and hit send. And that's where a lot of the information came initially. But it is just a reminder to me, as much as I complain, and I think social media if we really want to have a deep conversation, has probably been more harmful than helpful in the grand scheme of things. That's the one thing I would say is, if something major happens and information needs to be disseminated, I don't know that there's a better way for people to find out what's going on and what they're supposed to do than that. Because that's how I was finding out all the details last night for a while. Then, when more reputable places, because let's face it, you're not batting 1,000 on social media, but when the more reputable, trustworthy places who have standards and guidelines on how they're supposed to do things and are talking to professionals, it's not like there was some, what do they call it? Like the chat that you pops up on your feed where someone's talking on Twitter. They didn't have that with like aviation people and FAA people.
Right.
That was not part of the coverage on social media. But you start to get that on the networks or on the channels. There were a couple of people, I will say, for it sounds like every boorish reporter, the thing that you referenced, there was one dude, I wish I knew his name, who was blowing me away last night with his knowledge and information. And I was like, I don't know what this guy makes, but he should make more money. Just his insight on flying in the area. And, you know, it was like the perfect reporter for the moment, where I was legitimately, as someone in the media, taken aback going, I wish I knew the guy's name. I think it was Peter something. But like, just incredible knowledge. And I was like,
really impressive.
This dude is carrying the network in the most professional, like perfect tone being set, and just providing actual information that is necessary right now for someone who doesn't live that far from this, that's wondering what in the hell just happened. Because I think that's the first thing is you want to know, what was that explosion in DC, and do I need to know anything beyond that? And then you find out what happened, and it's just stomach turning.
Yeah, again, it's beyond, you're gutted, beyond gut-wrenching. It's so unfathomable that every time I see the details, I kind of get all, it's like I start the cycle over again of emotion. You can't believe it. Like, it sounds surreal. It sounds like a bad action movie plot,
right,
kind of a thing, you know?
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.